Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now that both political parties have had their convention, we are now going to be subjected to months of arguing, name-calling, accusations, and of course, political ads. Totally would understand it if any of you decided to go ahead and fast from TV until November. You know, and I was thinking about this arguing, as I was reading through our scripture readings today, we have Jeremiah arguing with God and Peter with Jesus. Jeremiah, in our first reading, is complaining how God seduced him. He's suffering from delivering God's message to his chosen people. Jeremiah has accepted the role of prophet. But for some reason, he must have had some different expectations about what that meant. And so he's arguing with God. I am the object of laughter. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I must cry out, violence and outrage is my message. And then he decides to pull a stunt, which I'm sure you parents have seen, when maybe a child decides to hold their breath until you change your mind. He decides, I am going to hold in that message. I'm not going to preach it. But then it becomes like fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it. In today's gospel reading, I've always found this story to be interesting, not just because of what it's about, but also because of where it is. If you read through Matthew's gospel, you will see last week's story, the story of Jesus saying, So who do people say that I am? And they go through and say, Elijah, one of the prophets, etc. And then he turns to his disciples and says, But who do you say I am? And of course, Peter responding with the gift of faith already planted in his heart and says, Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus rewards him by declaring that upon you, this foundation, I will build my church. And he also extends to him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And so we see Jesus rewarding Peter for his statement of faith. And then we come to today's reading. As I said, right after that event, Jesus is predicting his passion and death. He is predicting that when he gets to Jerusalem, he will be harassed, arrested, beaten, and of course, crucified. Peter objects. Now, I've always thought that this conversation must have went on. There must have been quite a bit of back and forth. Peter's starting to put together a list of why this can't happen, and Jesus says, no, it must. And Peter objecting again. And eventually, you can kind of see the exasperation with Jesus when he finally says, get behind me, Satan. You are thinking as human beings think, not as God thinks. What is Peter's thinking? Well, he's already recognized Jesus as Messiah. But what does that mean to Peter? I suppose Peter is thinking back to those champions that God raised up to lead Israel's armies against foreign invaders. I suppose he's thinking that Jesus will take the same role, if not a military leader, then a charismatic leader, to basically throw off the oppression of the Roman Empire. He assumes that it is power and might that is what will achieve victory. But as I said, Jesus is the one who fires back to Peter, because he knows that power and might is not what will win the victory, but humility and sacrifice. And we're not talking about a military victory or even a victory in the public square. We are talking about the ultimate enemy to the human family, sin and death. That is the victory that Jesus knows he has to die to win. So getting back to Jeremiah, did he have some unrealistic expectations when he accepted the call to be a prophet? Did he think that it was going to be people looking at him with great awe, putting him up on a pedestal, accepting his word, and immediately turning their hearts back to God? If that's what he thought, he obviously had not been paying attention to what happened to the prophets that preceded him. Time and time again, those prophets would give God's message and the people would ignore it, would turn their back on God and take it out on the prophets, exiling some, beating others, and even killing others. For Jeremiah, the reality set in that hardship, isolation, and ridicule, this would be his earthly reward. The reason for this is, once again, God's message of conversion was being ignored and not accepted. I would say that we experience that ourselves. We want to believe that we're good people, that we follow God's law. But do we? Or instead, are we half-hearted disciples who shy away from the hard work of discipleship? Are we selfish? Do we only care about our own comfort instead of doing the hard work of discipleship? The point that we hear in the gospel is that we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. Union with God is the important thing that we seek by offering ourselves holy and pleasing to God. That day, Peter was not ready to accept that message. He was not ready to accept that being a discipleship of Jesus meant embracing the cross. It took him a while, didn't it? Because we know when that prediction came to be, it was Peter, the rock, the one whose foundation the church was to be built, denied even knowing who Jesus was. Not once or twice, but three times. But eventually, Peter did get that message. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit given to him at Pentecost, he finally understood the truth of the gospel message. And he courageously proclaim that truth, even at the expense of his own life, giving up his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think Peter is a good person for us to always keep in mind. His reluctance at accepting the message early on reminds us that to follow Jesus is not what the world expects. It goes against the norms of society. It may lead to us being ridiculed. It may lead to us to be treated as outcasts. But ultimately, it leads to victory. This world may not be ready to accept the gospel message, but it needs it now more than ever. It needs to know that God so loved the world that he sent his Son, not to condemn the world, but that all who might believe in him might have eternal life. This is the victory that Jesus won for us. This is the victory that we as disciples of him are called to proclaim to this world. And even though the world may buck it, this is the message the world needs to hear, because this is the message that leads us all to heaven.